This is AgriPulse Daybreak West for Tuesday, January 20th. Good morning. I'm Jeff Daly. Here's today's headlines. VOCs remain low, but prohibitions remain. New $23 billion research bond could help ag. California economy stuck in neutral. EU tariff threats and pulses and India trade pact. Pesticide VOCs stay in check. Non-fumigants rise. California pesticide-related volatile organic compound emissions remained within federal ozone limits in 2024, but regulators say rising non-fumigant use and lingering uncertainty around future trends justify keeping restrictions in place at the San Joaquin Valley. Presenting the draft annual VOC inventory to the Pesticide Registration and Evaluation Committee on Friday, Department of Pesticide Regulation staff said all five ozone non-attainment areas met state implementation plan targets during May through October ozone season. Emissions remain sharply below 1990 levels statewide, with the Southern Coast and Ventura regions posting reductions of nearly 90% and about 70%, respectively. The San Joaquin Valley, which accounts for the largest share of pesticide VOC emissions, stayed below its SIP cap of 18 tons per day in 2024, despite a second consecutive annual increase in total emissions. DPR scientists attributed the increase primarily to higher non-fumigant use, driven in parts by growers shifting to alternative products following California's 2021 ban on chlorpyrifos. DPR officials told committee members that widespread adoption of new low-emission application methods for 1,3-D, including deeper injection techniques that took effect in 2024, significantly reduced fumigant emissions and helped prevent overall emissions from nearing regulatory trigger levels. Yet staff said uncertainty remains about whether rising non-fumigant emissions could erode that buffer. The department plans to keep high VOC non-fumigant prohibitions in the San Joaquin Valley in place through 2026 while continuing to evaluate new low-emission alternatives and monitor air data. A new $23 billion bond for science and health research. California lawmakers are pitching a proposal to place a $23 billion bond before voters to expand funding for science and health research while trying state support to new drug affordability requirements. SB 895, authored by Senator Scott Wiener, has more than two dozen co-authors. According to Wiener's office, the bond is designed to backfill potential federal research funding cuts and support work on health, climate, agriculture, wildfire resilience, and pandemic preparedness. The legislation would establish a California Foundation for Science and Health Research to oversee grants, loans, and investments in research institutions and facilities across the state. A key provision would require drugs developed with bond-funded research to be offered at discounted prices in California. The state would also be allowed to recover licensing revenue or manufacture medications through CalRx, the state's prescription drug initiative. The University of California System, United Auto Workers Region 6, and the Union of American Physicians and Dentists Local 206 support the bill. Wiener notes that UC researchers have made, quote, foundational contributions, high-yield rice varieties that supply food to tens of millions of people, among other inventions. California's economy stuck in neutral. California's economy is entering 2026 with growth constrained by policy uncertainty, weak hiring, and a deepening housing shortage, according to a new outlook from Beacon Economics. The forecast finds the state is not facing a recession, but is operating with the brakes on as businesses delay investment amid rising costs and political risk. The firm points to layered minimum wage mandates, local mansion taxes, rent control, and longstanding opposition to housing development as factors weighing on activity. Proposed measures include a potential billionaire tax on the November ballot, are adding to concerns that California is becoming less hospitable to capital. The labor market reflects the slowdown. Unemployment stands at 5.6%, the second highest in the nation, while job postings have slipped back to levels from about a decade ago. Employment gains remain concentrated in healthcare and government, while construction and manufacturing continue to lag. Housing remains the central constraint, with the state producing only about one-third of the units needed to meet demand, keeping prices elevated despite a cooling market. Newsom sets special election to fill LaMalfa's seat. Governor Gavin Newsom has said August 4th is the date for a special election to fill the U.S. House seat left vacant by the death of Representative Doug LaMalfa. A special primary will be held June 2nd, coinciding with the statewide direct primary. If no candidate wins a majority, the top two will advance to the August contest. The winner will serve out the remainder of LaMalfa's term through the end of 2026. Newsom selected the latest available date permitted under state law, leaving the House short a likely Republican for as long as possible. World leaders head to Davos against a backdrop of tariff threats. Global policymakers and business executives are meeting in Davos, Switzerland this week at the World Economic Forum, as European leaders are hoping to avoid threatening U.S. tariffs over Greenland. President Donald Trump on Saturday said Denmark, France, Germany, the United Kingdom, and four other European countries would face 10% tariffs beginning February 1st unless a deal is reached for the U.S. to buy Greenland. European officials reacted over the weekend. The Financial Times reported that EU policymakers are looking at reviving plans to retaliate with tariffs on over $100 billion of U.S. exports. Those would include U.S. grains, meats, vegetables, wine, beer, nuts, seafood, and bourbon. Some are calling for even stiffer retaliation. Trump is set to speak at the forum tomorrow and is expected to hold meetings on the sidelines of the event. European Commission President Ursula von der Leyen, NATO Secretary General Mark Rutte, and other European leaders will also be at the forum. GOP senators push for pulses in any India trade pact. Two Republican senators want greater market access for U.S. pulse producers in any U.S.-India trade framework. Late last year, India imposed a 30% tariff on yellow peas. Senator Steve Daines of Montana and Kevin Cramer of North Dakota say in a letter to President Trump. The action came several months after the U.S. raised tariffs on most Indian products to 50% because India was buying Russian oil. As a result of the unfair Indian tariffs, U.S. pulse crop producers face a significant competitive disadvantage when exporting their high-quality product to India, Daines and Cramer argue. As trade negotiations progress, we encourage you to push for favorable pulse crop provisions in any agreement. Lenders can now see rural development portfolio online. USDA is launching what it's calling a lender lens on the rural data gateway, which allows the public to see USDA Rural Development's entire commercial guaranteed loan portfolio. Now, anyone who wants can access where federal investments are being made, the Department news release says. The dashboard showcases key metrics, including total loan volume, average loan size, loan distribution by sector, geographic spread, and delinquency rates, the news release says. The Gateway includes investment dashboards, quote, that show how rural development has supported local and regional economies over the last decade through 80 different programs, the USDA says. Here's today's final word. Mexico is a very, very important friend, neighbor, business partner to the state of California. That CDFA Secretary Karen Ross talking to reporters in Mexico City last week. Well, that's Daybreak West for this Tuesday, January 20th. For the latest news out of Washington, D.C., visit AgriPulse.com. For AgriPulse Daybreak West, I'm Jeff Nally.